नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूत श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनति नामिनि नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंदा श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा। So thank you all very much for joining today's session. We have been discussing from Bhagavad Gita chapter 2. I will share the screen. In that, we have been discussing from the section on Buddhi Yoga, which is of two categories. One is Bhakti Yoga and the other is Nishkama Karma Yoga. In that we have been discussing about Bhakti Yoga, and Krishna was instructing Arjuna. He gave this important instruction to Arjuna. Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nistraigunyo Bhava Arjuna Nirdvandvo Nitya Satvasto Niryoga Kshemam Atmavan. So he's Traigunya Vishaya Veda. That the subject matter of the Vedas is predominantly three modes, even though the Vedas do contain about subject matters which are transcendental to three modes also. He says, Nistraigunyo Bhava Arjuna, please rise above the three modes. And we saw elaborately, Sri Vishwanatha Thakur explaining that the only path which is beyond the three modes is only pure devotional service. So, all those who are practicing pure devotional service are beyond three modes, right? So, we have been discussing on this theme elaborately. I mean, we did start discussing, Vahini Mataji brought out this very important question. Again, she is not here. Hopefully, she will join, or at least she is very regular in hearing the recordings though. So she brought out this very relevant question, which is, how is it that devotees are very much seen to respond to the three modes, are very much, you know, struggling with so many different, they're very clearly acting within the three modes. So how can you say that they are beyond three modes, right? So this was a question, and again, I see at least some of you here. There is a few of you who have attended some of my other sessions, and you have heard me present this topic, and we did start discussing on this topic last time. But because this is a very, very foundational thing, this is a very foundational discussion. And everyone who is practicing, you know, practicing bhakti within ISKCON, in my opinion, this concept needs to be understood. And otherwise, it will always create all kinds of issues. You know, in my experience, in what I have observed, a lot of misconceptions arise out of an improper understanding of the subject matter. What is it that we are practicing? Is it pure devotional service? Are we really pure devotees or not? If no, then what is it that we are practicing? If yes, then how exactly are you going to explain our behavior? Are you sure that we are practicing pure devotional service? This is a very critical question. And I have discussed this many times. Some of you, I think at least Shyamali Mataji has heard this. We did discuss this in our Bhakti Rasam Sindhu discussion very elaborately, and a few others maybe who have attended my other courses, you might have heard this. So, but this is a very critical question. What are we practicing? How do we understand what we are practicing? Are we really practicing pure devotional service? If so, then how are you going to explain the strange behavior of almost all the devotees? I mean, strange not according to common standards of the outside world, but strange in the sense, are you sure that this behavior is beyond three modes? So we started discussing this topic, and I have more or less presented a skeleton of this presentation, but still there are some details which need to be discussed. The skeleton I have presented, you all know this. If you have attended the last couple of sessions, then I have presented the skeleton, but there is some detail that needs to be discussed. So I will not discuss this topic in as much detail as we discussed it in our Bhaktirasama Sindhu session, but I will try to cover it in fairly reasonable pace so that at least we get some idea about it. So I may not necessarily complete this topic today. If I get to complete it, something. But if I may not necessarily get to complete also. But this is going to be an interactive session. Those of you who are comfortable speaking, please be ready to raise your hands. Those of you who are comfortable typing, please be ready with your chat box, because I'll be asking questions. We are going to interact. So, but I will not keep it as interactive as I generally do it, because most I have already presented the skeleton to you, so a lot of it you already know. Okay. Anyway, so how is it that bhakti is beyond, how is it that devotees, their practice is beyond the three modes? We were trying to understand this. So if you see the definition of Uttama Bhakti, which is what the first definition of Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu is, the definition of Uttama Bhakti, Anya Vilashita Shunyam Jnana Karma Dhyanavritam Anukulyena Krishnanu Shilanam Bhaktir Uttama. Of course, I am not going to elaborately go through this definition, but I will just mark the essential points here, just to make a point. Rest are clear, but I just want to focus on this one point, because this is where people say that, look, Jnana Karma Dhyanavritam Anukulyena Krishnanu Shilanam Undal is fine. I have a problem with this Anya Bilashita Shunyam, because my practice is not Anya Bilashita Shunyam, people say. Why? Right? Because Anya Bilashita Shunyam, it means it should be devoid of desires other than the desire to please the Lord. Generally, devotees say, oh, really? Then I am not practicing pure devotional service, because I do have other desires which are different from the desire to please the Supreme Lord. Anyway, I will not go through this whole definition of Anya Bilashita Shunyam, the expressions. That is not needed. So the problem is, people say that, look, everything is fine, but Anya Bilashita Shunyam, my practice is not Anya Bilashita Shunyam, because I do have so many other desires. Then the question arises, are you then practicing mixed devotional service? So if you say you're not practicing pure devotional service, then are you practicing mixed devotional service, Mishra Bhakti? The question is, maybe, maybe not. Unless I know the definition of Mishra Bhakti, how can I say whether I'm practicing Mishra Bhakti or not? This is what you should say. If you don't know the definition, ask for the definition. If you don't know the definition, don't identify with it. You can say, oh, I'm not practicing pure devotional service. Oh, by the way, what is the definition of pure devotional service? That I don't know. Then how are you so sure that you're not practicing it? Well, it's my gut feeling, people may say. It's my gut feeling, right? I have so many other desires. How can I practice pure devotional service with so many other desires? Right? So then the question is, okay, we did see the definition of pure devotional service. ಇದು ಸನ್ಯಾಭಿಲಾಷಿತ ಶೂನ್ಯಂ ಜ್ಞಾನ ಕರ್ಮಾತೇನ ಅನುಕೂಲ್ಯೇನ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾನುಶೀಲನ ಭಕ್ತಿರುತ್ತಮ. ವಿ ಸೇ ಆಲ್ ದ ಅದರ್ ಕಂಡೀಷನ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ಫೈನ್, ಬಟ್ ದಿಸ್ ಅನ್ಯಾಭಿಲಾಷಿತ ಶೂನ್ಯಂ ಕಂಡೀಷನ್ ಇಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಫೈನ್. ಐ ಡೂ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಅದರ್ ಡಿಸೈರ್ಸ್ ಅದರ್ ದನ್ ದ ಡಿಸೈರ್ ಟು ಪ್ಲೀಸ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ರಾದರ್ ಮೋಸ್ಟ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಡೇ ಐ ಹಾರ್ಡ್ಲಿ ಎವರ್ ಥಿಂಕ್ ಆಫ್ ಪ್ಲೀಸಿಂಗ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ, ವೆರಿ ರೇರ್ಲಿ. ಹೌ ಮೆನಿ ಆಫ್ ಯು ಫಾಲ್ ವಿತ್ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಕ್ಯಾಟಗರಿ? ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಯು ಪ್ಲೀಸ್ ರೇಸ್ ಯುವರ್ ಹ್ಯಾಂಡ್? I am so much absorbed in so many other things that I hardly stop to think whether I am doing this to please Krishna. Right? Slowly, one by one, devotees are raising their hands, and I am surprised with the names that I am seeing here. You know, all the luminaries are raising their hands. I am quite surprised. So therefore, the question is, then, so this is where the problem comes. Is my practice of bhakti pure? Because anyabhilashita shunyam is not there, because I do have so many other desires during the day. So then the question is, are you practicing mixed devotional service? Well, I don't know. Why don't you share the definition of mixed devotional service? That's what you should ask. So in the third canto, 29th chapter, Kapila describes the definition of mixed devotional service. He does not exactly define, he does not say such and such is Mishra Bhakti. Rather, he defines three types of Mishra Bhakti. Of course, there are different ways in which you can define Mishra Bhakti. One way of defining Mishra Bhakti is Karma Mishra, Jnana Mishra, and Yoga Mishra Bhakti. That is one way of differentiating Mishra Bhakti. Another Mishra Bhakti is, another way in which you define the same thing is actually that which is actually pure Bhakti is beyond three modes. But what if you mix some Sattva Guna with it? Or what if you mix some Rajo Guna with it? Or what if you mix some Tamo Guna with it? So then it is called as Sattvaguni Bhakti or Rajoguni Bhakti or Tamoguni Bhakti. Okay. So he defines these three types of bhakti in the third canto, 29th chapter, in his conversation with his mother Devahuti. So here he defines Tamoguni Bhakti. Abhisandaya yohimsam dambam matsarya mevava ಸಂರಂಭಿ ಭಿನ್ನ ದೃಗ್ ಭಾವ ಮೈ ಕುರಿಯಾತ್ ಸ ತಾಮಸ. ಹಿ ಸೇ ಸಂರಂಭಿ ದ ಆಂಗ್ರಿ ಪರ್ಸನ್, ಭಿನ್ನ ದೃಗ್ ಹಿ ಇಸ್ ಡಿವೈಡ್ ಆಫ್ ಕಂಪ್ಯಾಷನ್, ಯಹ ಮಯಿ ಭಾವ ಕುರಿಯಾತ್. ಹಿ ವರ್ಷಿಪ್ಸ್ ಮಿ ಬಟ್ ಹಿ ಇಸ್ ಅನ್ ಆಂಗ್ರಿ ಪರ್ಸನ್, ಹಿ ಇಸ್ ಡಿವೈಡ್ ಆಫ್ ಕಂಪ್ಯಾಷನ್. Abhisandaya hinsam dambam matsaryam, with intentions of violence, pride and hatred, he is tamasic in his bhakti. Okay. So again I will repeat, the angry person who is devoid of compassion but he worships me with intentions of violence, pride and hatred is tamasic in his bhakti. Okay. Then he defines what is rajasic bhakti. Yaha mam archayet, he worships me for sure. Archa adav, in the form of deities and in other forms. Other forms includes the holy name and everything. Pritak bhavah abhisantaya, with desire for other objects. With goals of material gain, fame, wealth, he is practicing rajasic. Okay. So this is, if you have desire for material gain, fame, wealth and other objects, that is rajasic bhakti, right? Then sattvic bhakti, karma nirharam uddishya parasmin va tadarpanam yaded yashtavyam iti va pratak bhavasa sattvika. Again, one who is practicing sattvic bhakti, he also worships Krishna. But karma nirharam uddishya, with a desire to destroy karma because he does not want to suffer. So he has a desire for liberation. Liberation means I don't want to suffer. Such a person is practicing sattvic bhakti. Okay. Now, my question to you is, how many of you think that you practice one more of this kind of either sattvic, rajasic or tamasic bhakti? We saw the definition here. The tamasic person, he is angry, lacks compassion, and he worships Krishna with intentions of violence and all that. And the rajasic person has desire for name, wealth, but he also worships Krishna. And the sattvic person does not want to suffer, and he worships Krishna for that. So these are the three definitions of sattvic bhakti, rajasic bhakti, tamasic bhakti. Do you identify yourself practicing any of these or more of these? Okay, few of you are raising your hands, right? So, okay. So now, when I asked you, is your practice, are you practicing pure devotional service? Most of you felt no, because Anyabhilashita Shunyam is not there. And then when I asked you, what about mixed devotional service? At least some of you are answering, and some of you have already attended this presentation probably. You feel like, yeah, it looks like, you know, I practice sometimes. How many of you feel sometimes sattvic lagra, sometimes rajasic lagra, sometimes tamasic lagra? You know, I cannot put it in one category. I do have sometimes desire for some name, fame, wealth. Wo bhi hai, kabhi kabhi anger hai, lack of compassion hai, violence bhi thoda kabhi kabhi ho jata hai. Or I don't want to suffer that. Desire to get rid of misery to hai hi bhar bhar ke. To lag raha hai ki kabhi kabhi sattvik, kabhi rajasik, kabhi tamasik. How many of you feel like that? There is an option of raising hands, those of you if you don't know anyway. So the point is, now let me give you one more option. Okay. I will give you one more option, one more definition. We saw the definition of Uttama Bhakti, pure devotional service. We saw the definition of Mishra Bhakti, mixed devotional service, which is Sattva Mishra, Rajo Mishra and Tamo Mishra Bhakti. Now, let me give you the definition of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti from Srimad Bhagavatam. Then I ask you the question again. Okay. So, there is a question in the chat box, but I will not answer it right now. I will answer it after some time. Because if my answering that right now would be little inappropriate, because it would make null and void my subsequent discussion. So I will just pause it for a second. Okay. Now, let me give a classic definition of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti from Srimad Bhagavatam. Please hear this definition carefully. You would have heard this from me before if you have been attending some occasions, because I have some standard presentations which I feel are very foundational in one's practice of bhakti. And I keep repeating them practically in all books. And those who have been attending my sessions, multiple book sessions, you know this for sure. Some of you must be laughing it out, because you would have heard the same presentation in multiple books. But I don't mind, because I find that this is a very foundational understanding which most devotees lack in our institution. But this is very, very foundational to understand this. What is it that we are practicing, right? Because many times this basic understanding is not there. Most of the times, I would say. Okay. So, let us see the classic definition of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti from Srimad Bhagavatam. Jata Shraddho Matkatasu. You know, I have already quoted this verse, so you all know this. Jata Shraddho Matkatasu Nirvinna Sarva Karmasu Veda Dukkatmakam Kaman Parityage Apyanishwarah Tato Bajeta Mam Preetah Shraddhalur Drida Nishchaya Jushamanascha Tanman Dukkodarkamscha Garhayan. What is the meaning of this? Jata Shraddho Matkatasu. So I will not go over the... Okay, let me go over it. This person has developed faith in Krishna consciousness. Bhakti karna chahiye. Bhakti matlab kya hai? Shravanam, kirtanam, vishno, smaranam, pada sevanam, archanam, mandanam, dasam, kimatma nivetam. Shravana, kirtana, smaranatmika, bhakti karna chahiye, bahut achha hai. Mera adhyatmik pragati ke liye. For my spiritual advancement, I should practice bhakti. He is convinced of this. Nirvinak sarva karmasu. He knows that performing any mid activities is not good for his progress. Jnana karma ityadi. He understands that it is not needed for my progress in the path of devotional service. Veda dukkatmakam kaman. Veda, he understands kaman, that engagement in any sense gratificatory activity, dukkatmakam, eventually leads to misery. He knows that. But parityage api anishwarah. But at the same time, he is not always able to say no to sense gratification. Beech mein succumbs. He succumbs to sense gratification. Even though he does not want, but he succumbs. Krishna says, Tato Pritaha, but my devotee should remain happy, Mam Bajeta, and worship me, Shraddhalur Dridanascha, with great faith and conviction. With great faith. So this is Krishna telling. First thing he says is Prita. Prita means, look, I do understand that you are not always able to say no to sense gratification, even though you are convinced it's not good for your bhakti. But don't get demoralized and so dejected that you lose all enthusiasm. I know that you're struggling, and I am not expecting you to overnight raise your standards. But take your baby steps and be happy. This is what Krishna is telling. Tato bhajeta mam prita. So worship me. Don't give up my worship. You may feel some regret, but don't let that regret eat away your enthusiasm for devotional service. Little regret which will keep you on your toes, which will keep you pushing forward to practice Krishna consciousness, that much regret is sufficient. Don't overdo it. That is what Krishna is indicating here. Tato bhajeta mam prita. Worship me and be happy. Be happy means don't get consumed by depression at your inability to follow immediately. Shraddhalu means do not doubt the process. Are ye bhakti kaam karta hai kya? 10 saal pehle bhi yehi anarthon se, you know, even 10 years back I was suffering with the same lust, anger, envy, etc. And after 10 years, 20 years, I'm still struggling with the same. This is work. He says, don't doubt the process. And dridanischaya. Dridanischaya means try to increase your determination little more. Last time I succumbed, this time I'll be little more careful, little more determined to not succumb to sense gratification. So this is what Krishna is telling. Okay. And then he says, Jushamanascha tan kaman. Even though he is sometimes engaged in sense enjoyment, Dukkodar comes. My devotee knows that all sense gratification leads to a miserable result. Garhayan. And he sincerely repents such activities. Of course, the degree of sincerity will depend upon how much advanced the person is. But definitely there will be some degree of sincerity with which he will be repenting. So basically, I will summarize the understanding of what are the classic symptoms of a Vaidhi Sadhaka. There is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 symptoms. While I am summarizing it, I want you to meditate upon this and apply it to yourself, because we are going to do the next step of introspection now. Jata Shraddho Matkatasu. Have you awakened faith in the process of bhakti? Nirvinna Sarvakarmasu. Are you convinced that apart from bhakti, I don't have to do this karma, jnana, yoga, etc. to perfect my process? This is the meaning. Veda Dukkatmakam Kaman. Do you have a fair degree of realization by now that any endeavor for sense gratification will eventually give some suffering? Right? At least the suffering will come in the form of every good thing will come to an end. Adyantavanta Kaunteya. It will have an Adi, it will have an Anta. So, Nateshu Ramate Buddha. So, do you have some understanding with fairly reasonable realization that any endeavor for sense gratification will somehow or other later lead to misery? 4, Parityage Api Anishwaraha. Are you still, even though you know sense gratification will lead to suffering later, are you still struggling to give up sense gratification all the time? Jushamanascha tan kaman. And how do you respond when you succumb to sense gratification? Unable to give up sense gratification, he sincerely repents for engaging in such acts. These are the classic symptoms of a Vaidhi Sadhaka. And Krishna instructs those sadhakas. He says, please remain happy and worship me with great faith and conviction. Okay. So now my question to you is, we have first seen the definition of Uttama Bhakti. Okay. That was, I will give a number. That was number 1. I want you to vote. All of you, please go to the chat box and be ready to vote. Okay. We saw the definition of Uttama Bhakti. Anya Bilashita Shunyam Jnanakara Vinavritam Manukulyena Krishnam Shilanam Bhakti Uttama. So that definition we saw, that was 1. The second definition we saw was a set of 3. Sattvaguni, Rajoguni, Tamoguni Bhakti. So this all 3 put together is number 2, which was the definition of mixed devotional service. Okay. Which many of you raised your hands that, yeah, I think, you know, I fall within this category. Now, the third definition that we saw is the definition of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. Okay. We saw some 5 symptoms we saw. Now, can you please take a few seconds to reflect? And can you please share in the chat box, in which of these 3 categories would you put your own practice of bhakti? 1, 2, or 3. And then we will discuss. Which one best fits, right? Okay. About 7-8 devotees have answered, and all have given one answer only. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. So 11 devotees have answered out of 24, because 25th is myself. Some of you joined late. So practically everyone who has answered has given the answer as 3. None of you have answered 1. Now let me tell you a secret. Srila Rupa Goswami calls the first verse, I mean that we saw, Anya Bilashita Shunyam verse. He says, he calls this verse as the Paribhasha Sutra of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Paribhasha Sutra means what? Srila Jiva Goswami says, Aniyame Niyamakarini Paribhasha. Which means, Paribhasha Sutra means, subsequently, every definition that comes in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu includes this one definition of Uttama Bhakti. Okay. So, the definition that he gives next is Sadhana Bhakti. Okay. Sadhana Bhakti means what? He says, Kriti Sadhya Bhavet Sadhya Bhavasa Sadhana Vida. When bhakti is practiced, engaging the senses in the activities of Shravanam Kirtanam with a desire to attain a relationship with Krishna, that is called as Sadhana Bhakti. But Srila Rupa Goswami says, in that Sadhana Bhakti, Bhakti means Uttama Bhakti. So Rupa Goswami says that henceforth, whenever in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu the word bhakti is used, it means Uttama Bhakti and nothing less than that. So when Sadhana Bhakti is defined, it is called as Sadhana Uttama Bhakti, which means Sadhana Bhakti is also Uttama Bhakti. Then he defines Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti and Raganudana Bhakti. But Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti means what? When senses are engaged in the activities of Shravanam Kirtanam Ityadi with the desire to attain a relationship with Krishna, this is Sadhana Bhakti. And that Sadhana Bhakti has to be Anya Bilashita Shunyam Jnana Karma Dinavutman Pityana Krishna Shilanam. And on top of that, when the desire to engage the senses is coming from Guru Sadhu and Shastra, that is called as Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. So now, eventually, there are so many definitions that will come. Sadhana Bhakti is defined, then Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti is defined, then Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti is defined, then Bhava Bhakti is defined, then Prema Bhakti is defined. In all these definitions, Bhakti means Uttama Bhakti. Uttama Bhakti means Anya Bilashita Shunyam. While we all could clearly identify ourselves with the third definition, why we could not identify ourselves with the first definition? This we already discussed. Okay. So, and now some of you or many of you raised your hands for the second set of three definitions also. Let's revisit those definitions now. Okay. You see here, the word abhisandaya is used. Abhisandaya means with intention of violence, pride, hatred. And again in Rajoguni, also the word abhisandaya is used. Abhisandaya means for the purpose of. We may have desire for fame, we may have desire for wealth, we may have desire for so many other things. But do we worship Krishna for that purpose? How many of us pray that we may become angry on someone. We may even become angry on other devotees. We may sometimes even hate some devotees. But how many of us actually pray for the downfall, pray to Krishna for the downfall of the other devotee? How many of us pray so that some other devotee meets with some unfortunate end? How many of us pray that Krishna makes me more famous? We may sometime act in a way to become very famous, but how many of us actively pray to Krishna, Krishna, please make me very famous. Krishna, please lot of wealth. Krishna, please give me lot of popularity. Even though we may be struggling with these desires, do we actually pray for it? Actually, a mixed devotee prays for it. That is why the word, that is what is the meaning of the word abhisandaya. Abhisandaya means this is an active prayer. We may passively have these desires, but they may not be our cherished desires. Will you identify these things as your prayojan? So that is the thing. So that's what is the difference between Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti and mixed devotional service. So we saw, I will quickly go over this. We already saw this before. So desires are of two types, you know, desires which are born out of our value system and desires which are born out of our conditioning. Okay. Our value system is called as Shraddha and our conditioning is called as Swabhava. And there is always a tug of war between the two. Sometimes you like to do things which are prohibited in the scriptures. Sometimes you don't like to do things which are recommended in the scriptures. Right? So the desires which are born out of one's value system or Shraddha is called as Abhilasha. And the desires which are born out of one's swabhava or one's conditioning is called as anartha. We saw some examples. The desire to please my spiritual master, you all identified that this is a desire which is born out of the value system. Desire for opposite sex is born out of conditioning. Desire to chant quality rounds is born out of our value system. Desire to anger, angry outbursts, these are born out of our conditionings. So then, if you remember, we did this exercise. I asked you to close your eyes and I gave you two bins to segregate your desires which are there in your heart. Segregate, put the Abhilasha in one bin and put the Anarthas in the other bin. Or put the desires which are born out of your value system in one bin. And I asked you to put all the desires which are born out of your conditioning in the other bin. So once you segregate this, Abhilashas and Anarthas, then I said, hand over the Anartha bin to me and keep the Abhilasha bin within your heart. Then I asked you, how many of you think that your practice is Anyabhilashita Shunyam? Practically everyone raised your hands. So the point is that I'm just redoing the whole exercise, reminding you of this whole exercise, because this is a very critical understanding. This is a very critical understanding, critical point to be understood with respect to our own practice of devotional service. So therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami says, he defines bhakti as anya bilashita shunyam. He is not defining it as anya anartha shunyam. So you did identify that your abhilasha is very pure. It's just that you have some unfavorable anarthas. Is it not possible to practice pure devotional service with anarthas? Rupa Goswami says you should not have anya abhilasha. He does not say that it is not possible to practice also pure devotional service with anarthas. then what is the meaning of anartha nivritti in the stages of devotional service? Adav shraddha tatad sangha tad bhajana kriya tato anartha nivritti syat tato nishtha tata ruchihi ata saktis tato bhava tata prema abhyudanchati. He says these nine stages. These are nine stages of mixed devotional service or pure devotional service. Pure devotional service only, right? Is it like till anartha nivritti it's mixed devotional service and after anartha nivritti it is pure devotional service? Is it like? No, right? So the question is that there is a difference between Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti and mixed devotional service. Both may seem to have some material desires, right? But there is a difference. Performing devotional service with material desires is Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, especially before Nishtha. And performing devotional service for fulfilling material desires, this is mixed devotional service. Okay, there is a difference between the two. Okay, you have to see which category you fall. Do you practice devotional service while struggling with material desires? Or are we practicing devotional service? I cannot say we. It's an individual question we have to ask ourselves. We cannot ask. We cannot answer for others. We have to answer for ourselves, right? So is your practice of, how would you term your practice of devotional service? Do you practice devotional service while struggling with material desires? Or do you practice devotional service while actively anchoring and praying for those material desires to be fulfilled? In other words, do you pray for the unfavorable desires to be removed, or do you pray for the unfavorable material desires to be fulfilled? This is what differentiates a Vaidhi Sadhaka and a mixed devotee. So Vaidhi Sadhaka may have material desires, but that is not anna. That is not abhilasha, that is anartha. So still, he is practicing anyabhilashita shunya bhakti only. Whereas a mixed devotee, he has material desires, but the material desires are present in the form of abhilasha for him. Abhilasha means he wants those desires to be fulfilled. Right. So this is the point that I'm trying to put forth here in my presentation for what is it that we are practicing. Because many times people say that, do you think you are practicing pure devotional service? Do you think you are pure? So then we have to understand, we have to try to understand what do you mean? And I am not telling that I am a perfect devotee like Srila Prabhupada or Srila Rupa Goswami. But are you wanting me to believe that I am practicing mixed devotional service? If that's what you are suggesting, then I don't agree. If that is what is your suggestion, then you will have to prove me that I am practicing mixed devotional service. Okay. So I will pause here before we move forward. You can share your thoughts till now, if you have any. We will see some of the Shastra proofs you have already seen. We will see some more. But at this point of time, I will pause to see if you have any quick comments, discussion points, any reflections or thoughts that you might want to share. Anything, anyone? You can please raise your hand or share your thoughts in the chat box. Anything? Okay, if there is none, then we will continue. So then I'm assuming that, you know, the point is clear, you are understanding. Oh, okay. Shyamalal Prabhu says, I always thought that pure devotional service started after the stage of Anartana Vritti. Thank you for sharing, Prabhu. I mean, I really appreciate it. Then if you are saying this way, then I think there are probably many more devotees who feel that way. But actually, pure devotional service starts after Anartana Vritti. Then is it that once practice changes after Anartana Vritti and before Anartana Vritti, it's a different practice? Is it that till Anartana Vritti is accomplished, we practice mixed devotional service with other aspects of karma, jnana, yoga, etc. And only after Vikkhanartana Vritti, we practice purely Shravanam, Ketanam, Vishnu Smaranam like that? Generally not, right? So, there is another question in the chat box here. Value system refers to the right and wrong understanding coming from Bhakti Shastras. Well, in general, value system can refer to anything because even the jnanis have a value system. Even the karma yogis have a value system. What is karma yogi's value system? Dharmasya sankalpo adharmasya varjanam. Whatever is proper dharma, according to my varna and ashrama, I will accept it. And performing any vikarma, varjanam. Not performing my own karma, varjanam. Performing my own karma, sankalpa. Accept. So, here when we are talking about our value system, we have a specific value system which we have assimilated from the pure devotional literatures. But the karma yogis will have their own value system. The jnana yogis will have their own value system. The karma mishra bhaktas will have their own value system in terms of what is right, what is wrong, like that. Okay. Anything else? Okay. If there is nothing, then I will give some proofs. I did share some proofs with you last week also. So I won't go into this proof part in great detail. But still, here we saw last time, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, first we will see some proofs from the Bhagavad Gita only. So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Adrisham cheshtate svasyaha prakritir jnanavanapi prakritim yanti bhutani nigraha kim karishyati. So Krishna says, jnanavanapi, even a man who understands scriptures, cheshtate, he performs activities swasyaha prakritir sadrisham, according to his own desires. Desires means what? Likes and dislikes. Jnanavanapi means he knows the shastras. What do the shastras say? This is right, this is wrong. Even though he knows what is right and wrong, many times he acts according to his desires, which means he acts according to his likes and dislikes. Prakritim yanti bhutani, all men act according to their desires. Nigraha kim karishyati, what can instruction or threat of punishment accomplish? This he says, everyone has to act according to their desires. Everyone acts according to their desires. Then, in the very next verse, Krishna seems to contradict his own presentation. Krishna says, Indriyasya indriyasyarte ragadvesho vyavasthitau tayor na vasham agachet tauhyasya paripantinau. He says, raga dvesha means likes and dislikes. Okay. Likes and dislikes vyavasthitau are very firmly present. Indriyasya indriyasyarte in each of the subjects. So when we look at, you know, samosa or some French fries, suddenly we start salivating, right? And when we see Karela sabji, then our appetite goes away, right? So raga and dvesha is there in all this. I mean, this is a very conventional way of presenting. It is not there in the sense objects. It is there in our own mind, actually. And Krishna says, tayor na vasham agai. One should not come under the control of attachment and repulsion. This is very interesting, because in the very previous verse only, he said, everyone acts according to their desires, likes and dislikes. And in the very next verse, he says, but you should not act under your likes and dislikes, because paripantino, oh, here's a paripantino, because they are two obstacles in one's progress on the path of devotional service or any spiritual path. If you are attached to doing only things which you like and not doing things which you don't like, and if you aren't, then any kind of spiritual progress or even material progress cannot happen, actually. Because what you like need not always be the best for you. So Krishna says, no. Even though your likes and dislikes may push you to act in a particular way, you should be considering whether it is beneficial for my achieving my goal or not. You should act under that consideration. So now, here is what he is telling. Don't. So this verse says, basically what this previous verse is, swabhava is very powerful. And it pushes one to act in various ways. So this is what this verse says. But in the very next verse, Krishna says, but learn to subdue your swabhava by the strength of your shraddha. Learn to subdue your swabhava by the strength of your shraddha. This is not some rocket science that Krishna is telling here. We have always been doing this since time immemorial. Since we reached a particular age, you know, like, you know, Shyamalal Prabhu is a doctor, you know, there's so many doctors here, right? Shyamalal Prabhu, Sachipran Prabhu, Rajarade Mataji, and so many, right? Sonar Sakhi Mataji. You must all have studied very hard to achieve this. And certainly, you must have sacrificed a lot of things which you like to do and acted in a way that is favorable for your career. There must have been a lot of entertainment that you must have sacrificed while preparing for your NEET. Of course, in those days, there was not NEET, you know, I don't know, whatever they call it, medical entrance exam. Either Maharashtra CET or whatever, or all their medical exam. And during MBBS also, during your PG also, you must have sacrificed a good at least 10-12 years of your life, a good amount of entertainment and all that which you really like, you must have sacrificed it to accomplish something which you identified as very good, right? So, and in doing that, you must have performed lot of activities which you really did not like doing. Waking up early, you know, compromising your sleep, and all that which you would never like to do, you must have done that. So this is not rocket science. But what Krishna is telling it, you have the ability to subdue your swabhava and act in a way that is beneficial for you. Why don't you do it under the guidance of scriptures? That is what Krishna is asking here, right? I will read a footnote which is given by Baldev Vidyabhushan. In Baldev Vidyabhushan's commentary to this verse, His Holiness Bhanuswami Maharaj gives this footnote. I will read it carefully. Listen to this. Vasanas or samskaras, this is what we were discussing as conditioning, or swabhava. Vasanas or samskaras or impressions are means by which experiences of previous lives stay with the jiva life after life. That is how, as soon as we look at a rasgulla, we start salivating because we have had a past experience of eating and relishing that rasgulla. Under certain conditions, the impressions activate, creating memory of previous like or dislike. In this case, it is the vision of rasgulla. So that vision of rasgulla activated those past memory of past likes or dislike, and then desires appear. Then you get the desire, oh, I wish to eat that rasgulla, and thus the jiva acts. You go and pick up that rasgulla and eat, right? He says, even though vasanas or impressions are powerful to instigate the jiva to action, they do not make the jiva powerless to make his choices. You see, vasanas or impressions are powerful to push the jiva to act on the platform of likes and dislikes. But still, they do not make the jiva powerless to make his choices. His choice is his free will. So, likes and dislikes are actually controlled by the modes, right? We like something. If you are sattoguni, you like particular things. If you are rajoguni, you like different things. If you are tamoguni, you like different things. Our likes and dislikes are generally controlled by the modes, right? Our free will means when you act under the guidance of what is right and what is wrong. That is free will actually. Free will of the jiva exists along with his experience of vasanas. This enables the jiva to choose the advice of the sitter over his material desires. So when someone is just purely acting according to his material desires, he is not necessarily exercising his free will. He is just getting swept by the modes. That is anarthas actually. Right? So, therefore the point is that Shraddha and Swabhava, our conditioning and our free will, both coexist. Right? So, a Vaidhi Sadhaka is a person who has a faith, a value system which is beyond three modes, whereas a conditioning which is very much within the three modes. So now, actually, a person's action is a complex vector sum of his of his conditioning and his like I say, when I say action of a Vaidhi Sadhaka. So this is, I am directly answering that question by Vahini Mahesh. Okay. So action of Isadhaka is a vector sum of these two. Okay. One is his faith, pure devotional faith. Okay. Which is in a particular direction. Okay. And then he has a swabhava, a conditioning, which is in the opposite direction. Okay. Let us say this is 50 units and this is 40 units in the opposite direction. So his final activity will be 10, only 10 units in the positive direction. Right. Or sometimes it may happen that someone is having 50 units in the positive direction and 60 units in the negative direction, his swabhava. His final action will be in the negative direction, which means he may be performing activities which are absolutely unfavorable for Krishna consciousness. So the point is, a Vaidhi Sadhaka's action is a vector addition of the impetus that comes from his faith, which says anukulyasya sankalpo pradikulyasya varjanam, and his conditioning, which says achcha hai to karlo, ragasya sankalpo dveshasya varjanam. So therefore the point is these two stimuli, they coexist in any people who try to work under who are trying to work under any kind of value system. Actually, it may be a Nishkama Karma Yogi, it may be a Jnana Yogi, it may be an Ashtanga Yogi, it may be a Bhakti Yogi. So, this is the point. They do coexist in a person. The Shraddha and Swabhava. At least in the sadhana stage, they do coexist. We saw the example last week where Arjuna says, Ata kena prayuktoyam papam charati purushah anichchannapi varshneyam baladivanyojita. So, he's asking, Atakena prayuktaha. By what is it? Ayam purushaha papam charati. What is pushing a person to engage in sin, O Krishna? Anichanapi. Even though he has no icha, baladiva niyojitaha. As if by force someone is pushing. So now he's telling, he is papam charati. He is certainly doing it. But he says anichan, chaningi. Who is that person who will do a thing which he does not like? Icha. Bina icha ka kaam kon karta hai? Koi bhi nahi. Right? So, where is this anicca coming from? And where is this papam coming from? That is my question to you. Can you answer in the chat box? First, my first question. Where is this anicca coming from? Is he talking about two persons or one person? Is Arjuna talking about two people? One person performing papa and another person having anicca, or is he talking about one person? What do you think? where is anicca, where is the unwillingness to perform that sin, where is it coming from? He's talking about one person, fine. So where is the unwillingness coming from? It is coming from the value system, right? Anicca is coming from Shraddha. And Papam is coming from Swabhava, right? Right. So the desire that, oh, I should not be doing this is coming from a value system which says, this is wrong. But the Icha to do it, the pushing to do it is coming from the Swabhava, from the condition, right? So the coexistence of two is there. And we also saw the example of the Chatushloki Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam yenamam upayantite. He says, satata yuktanam. Satata yuktanam means such a person constantly desires to be with Krishna. And bhajatam priti purvakam means he worships Krishna with great love. On one, so he is constantly desiring to be with Krishna and he is worshipping Krishna with love. In the very next verse, Krishna says, Tesham eva anukampartam aham agyanajam tamaha nashayami. Tesham eva anukampartam, to show favor to them, aham, I myself, atma bhavastho, being situated within their heart, nashayami, I extinguish agyanajam tamaha, the darkness born of ignorance. So Krishna says, I destroy the darkness born out of ignorance. In whom? Satata yuktana, in those people who desire to be with Krishna and bhajatam priti purukam, who are worshipping him with great love. Now the question is, can there be agyanajam tama, darkness born out of ignorance, in the heart of that person who desires to constantly be with Krishna and is worshipping him with love? Can they coexist? If you say yes, then you have to say how. If you say no, then my question is, is Krishna in 10.10 and 10.11 talking about two different people? Right? So is Krishna talking about one person or two persons here? Please use your chat box. Is Krishna talking about one person? Yeah. He's talking about one person, right? He's talking about the same person. You know, Tesham. Same. Tesham satata yuktanam, Tesham evanukampartam. He's talking about one person. See Baldev Debhushan's explanation here. This one line, in this one line, it becomes very clear. You see, for those who cannot maintain their lives without me, for my unalloyed devotees alone, I reveal in the Atma my dazzling form and qualities and destroy that darkness in the form of desires for objects other than myself, born from ignorance in the form of beginningless karma, which covers the knowledge. This is strange. You see here. So he says, they are my unalloyed devotees. Unalloyed means there is no other desire. But he says, in my unalloyed devotee's heart, I enter and I destroy the darkness in the form of desires for objects other than myself. Which means he does possess desire for objects other than Krishna. Then how is he an unalloyed devotee? Correct? So on one side, Krishna says he's an unalloyed devotee. And on another side, he says, I destroy the darkness in the form of desires for objects other than myself. Right? So the point is, the unalloyed nature is his faith, is his aspiration, is his desire, that I don't want such desires in my heart. And the impurity is in the form of his conditioning, which he is not proud of. Right? I wish I could chant throughout the day. Right? I'm sure. Or I wish I could engage in devotional service 24 hours a day. But I do have all these other things which I'm attached to. But the point is, are you proud of it? No, we are not proud of it. So Krishna says, okay, leave it to me, I will destroy it. Leave it to me, I will destroy it. So they coexist. They don't coexist in the faith. They coexist. The unalloyed nature, this unalloyed nature is there in his faith. And this darkness in the form of desire for objects is there in his condition. Okay. Therefore, Krishna Surya Sama Maya Andhakaram. Shachi Prana who is quoting here in his chat box. Yahan Krishna Tahanai Maya Adhikar. Right. But this is gradual. This is gradual. Anarthanavritti is gradual. We all know that. So Krishna is slowly entering, Maya is slowly leaving. We cannot say Krishna entered completely. To the extent our heart is purified, to that extent he will enter. And of course, he will only enter and purify also. But to the extent he will enter in the form of his holy name, holy vibration. Pravishta Karnarandrena Swanam Bhava Saroruham Dhunoti Shamalam Krishna Salilasya Yatharat. Like that. Gradually he will enter and purify. Right. So and of course there are so many other points. Also, there is this classic verse, Apichet Sudhuracharo and Kshipram Bhavati Dharmatma. I would have liked to discuss this, but I think at this point I will again pause to see if there are any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share as at this point. You can either please raise your hands and speak, or you can please type in the chat box whatever you feel comfortable. Anything anyone would like to share? Some reflections, thoughts, questions, anything? Yes, Sachi
Dhanwad, thank you so much for clearing so
Branko.
many doubts. Ruji, one point, as you have rightly said, that yes, Maya is leaving, Krishna is entering. But for a sadhaka, the stage is very difficult, you know, for those who are practicing Krishna consciousness. And now, with this hope that yes, Maya is leaving, Krishna is entering our heart. But sometimes the meditation, you know, the aparadhas we do, our pre-meditation thoughts we do. So this little bit, you know, the sadhaka has become disturbed because when they practice Krishna consciousness, they expect that yes, Maya should leave. Why Maya is occupying my mind? Krishna should occupy mind, and all the chintan, the meditation should happen about Krishna. So when this other thoughts comes in mind, the sadhaka has to, what should be the motivation for a sadhaka to continue practice with same enthusiasm and determination?
Well, the point is, the hope comes from the promise of Krishna. क्षिप्रम भवति धर्मात्मा शश्वत शांति निगच्छति कौन्तेय प्रतिजानी ही नमे वक्तव्यम् इच्छति. दैट इज दैट प्रॉमिस दैट कृष्णा गिव्स एंड कम्युनिकेट टू कृष्णा. कृष्णा इज विलिंग टू हियर अवर प्रेयर्स, ऑफर प्रेयर्स टू कृष्णा. कृष्णा आई एम स्ट्रगलिंग, कैन यू प्लीज हेल्प. आई मीन दैट्स एग्जैक्टली वॉट कृष्णा इज वेटिंग फॉर. सो वी कैन ऑफर अवर प्रेयर्स टू कृष्णा एंड कृष्णा in his own way at his own pace will do the needful. So that is our hope. Krishna's peace is our hope. Is that relevant to?
Yes Prabhuji. So Prabhuji, another one point I want to clarify, there's the mind's demand. It is mentioned in Nectar of Instructions there are two types of demands, avirodha vritti and the attachment material conditioning, and another type is
I think virodha yukta krodha or something like that.
Prabhuji. So this, can you please clarify Prabhuji, these two minds, as it is related to the mind, I just the purport that Srila Prabhupada mentioned is not so clear. So the first attachment.
Yeah, I do remember the terminology. Exactly what Prabhupada writes, I'm not able to immediately recollect. Maybe I will check and get back to you.
Okay, okay.
Hare Krishna. Yes, Shyamlal Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, it's my question. Shyamlal.
Yes, Mata. Yes, Mata.
Yeah. So, Prabhuji, whatever activities you described, it seemed to fall under the in the category of either swabhava or your value system, right? But I mean, I'm not sure about the exact verse, but there is also a verse in the Bhagavad Gita that describes, you know, the factors that affect an activity of a person, right? Like the maybe the field of action or in simple words, there could be other circumstances, the place,
Adhishtanam tata karta karanam cha pratak vidha vividhas cha pratak chesta daivam chaivatra panchamam. Five factors that affect the success of a particular activity.
Success of an activity. My point is, every activity cannot be categorized into we doing it like coming out of our value system or coming out of our likes or dislikes. There are certain things that we just have to do it. They're just there. Social.
What I meant, I will clarify, Mataji. I didn't say about the suck of the activity. I am telling the impetus for performing any activity will invariably come either from our conditioning or from our value system. This is my proposition. This is the proposition of Bhagavad Gita also. So, can you give me an example where the impetus to perform an activity can come from something else? You can give your personal example, maybe from can you give me an example of some activity that you perform whose impetus neither comes from your conditioning nor comes from your value system?
Yeah, I was thinking, I mean, not from my personal example, but what we speak about these apatkalin, like if there is an emergency situation or like, you know, or maybe if the body is if you're a patient, if you have some chronic disease, so there are certain activities, like then you would have to do activities whatever your value system says or whatever your conditioning says, there are certain things that you just have to do. Or if there is war in your city or whatever, there are certain things that you just have to do, right? So those activities.
Your voice is breaking, Mataji.
Haripur Prabhuji, can I repeat what I said then? Should I repeat? Is it still breaking?
No, you said in Katkalin Paristhiti. No, now it is clear. You said that in emergency situations, let's say for example you are critically ill or something, at that time your actions are neither driven by your value system nor driven by your conditioning. Is that what you said?
Yes, Rosie.
Okay, now that is it depends on your apatkalin conditioning. Conditioning is of different types, right? So how much is your conditioning, how much within your conditioning is inbuilt the quality of tolerance? So therefore there are sometimes the value system is given by the doctor. Shyamlal Prabhu says, Prabhu, I know you like to eat this, but you cannot eat it. So that's a value system that is prescribed by the doctor. That's why the doctors give prescriptions, right? So there is shastric prescriptions and doctors also give prescriptions. So in apatkalin paristhiti, it all depends on, you know, again, the question of your conditioning and your the values that are presented by the doctor. If you want to get well soon, then don't eat this, don't eat this, don't eat this, and eat this for sure. But again, sometimes how many of us, you know, like, you know, complete the medicine course given by the doctor and the patya prescribed by the doctor? You know, Sonar Sakhi Mataji is here and she must, she can probably share her experience, because in Ayurveda there is strict patya. Presented by the okay, I'm sorry, I intermittently lost track of internet was gone. So I Sunar Sakhi Mataji is raising her hands. I'll just unmute her. Yes, Mataji, you want to present some statistics?
Yes, Prabhuji. Miss, the impetuses are there, even if we prescribe them some patya, or even they know that this is good for them, but then their conditionings, many times they don't allow them to follow. But at the same time, what Shamli says, there are certain patients also that they want to follow, and they know it, it is good for them, but then the conditions at their house are not allowing them. For example, elderly people who are dependent on others, they may not get what they need, and even if they know and they are ready to do it. So the question again, like what Shamli says, is continuous.
Voice is breaking again.
I think Hare Krishna. Sabka hi gaya kya? आवाज नहीं आ रहा है कुछ भी, आई थिंक.
Hare Krishna, I'm really sorry. I had poor internet. I'm really sorry. Sonarsaki Mataji was speaking, but I totally lost track. Can you please repeat, Mataji? I'm really sorry. I think you're talking
yes,
for a long time.
So you were asking for the statistics. So yes, there are patients, and they when we prescribe them some do's and don'ts because of their conditioning, they are not able to follow them. And but many a times it also happens that they are ready to follow, but because of the their dependency on elderly people, means like they are not able to follow that. So what where they will fall then?
Like, oh, you're
but
asking
it is not the impetus, but yeah, but it is not the impetus, it is the like what we will call it,
circumstantial, right? It is
yeah,
circumstantial. I mean, in that case also, that circumstance is created because of, in one sense, like their conditional attachment to their family members, in one sense, right? So and also a particular value system, inbuilt value system that they may have, where I don't want to put my people into inconvenience. I don't want to inconvenience my relatives. So it is some kind of value system. It may not be Shastra prescribed value system, but there is some value system that I don't wish to inconvenience my my family members. So it is that. So like, I think that's where Shyamali Mataji was also coming. You know, there could be some situations where it is not your conditioning, it is not your value system. But if you actually probe, it will fall in one of these two categories. It will either be conditioning, or it will be some kind of self-made or value system or something like that. Is that relevant, Mataji? Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So I think we will continue this discussion next week, and hopefully next week I will put an end to this to this topic, and then we will move forward, because currently we are discussing Bhagavad Gita. But still, I felt and I still feel that this is a very important subject matter which need to be understood, because I will tell you the repercussions of improper understanding of this subject matter in next week, because we will fall into a lot of traps. So I will discuss this point next week. So I will. So, but for now, I think till now, whatever we have discussed, at least something is making some sense. But we'll continue this discussion next week. So thank you all very much for your patient listening and your enthusiastic participation. So we'll continue next week. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur Pad ki jai, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.